spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matthew Mayer. I'm here with my mother, Andrea Mayer, and we would like to start off the show by giving a quick and brief shout-out to a lot of new listeners we've noticed coming up on the podcast from all over the world, actually. So we'd like to give a shout-out to you who are listening wherever you are and let you know that we appreciate your support and your endorsement. And, Mom, your book's still out. It's still doing very well. A lot of feedback has been coming in, whether through Facebook, email, and even in person. The book is titled Slammed, Overcoming Tragedy in the Wave of Grief. A lot of people have talked about the cover, catching their eyes. It's a family, the generic family, father, mother, daughter, son, walking on the beach, and they're just enjoying life. And in the background is this wave, and it's a tidal wave, and it's basically it's going to catch them off guard. And that's how tragedy usually catches us off guard. And your book is a masterpiece of survival tactics, how to manage pain, how to navigate tragedy. And we're trying to figure out how to sell more books.
We have to call it 50 Shades of Slammed.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Slammed. And that's where we're going today, because we are post St. Valentine's Day and this cultural phenomenon that has been sweeping the world.
Yep.
With this 50 Shades of Grey series. It first started out as a printed book.
Yep.
And now it is in the movie theaters. And that's all we hear about.
And that's what people are reading.
Right, so if we change your title from 50 Shades of Slam, we might possibly get more sales. But that there's something to it. There's something to what is attracting people, men and women,
yep,
to the content, the script. And I think that's where we're going to go a little bit into depth today about why.
What's going on?
And, you know, a lot of times I've did a post, I did a volume up. You know, if you haven't seen it, go to themattmayerstory.com, go to the volume up and watch. It's just what I believe and what God laid on my heart to share about 50 Shades of Grey, and it is absent of light. And a lot of people's backlash was, well, you can't judge it because you have never read it.
Yeah.
And I sit there and I say, wow, I mean, you don't have to touch a hot stove to know that it's going to burn you.
Right.
You don't have to go out and explore drugs and alcohol and know that they're dangerous.
Yeah.
So I don't need to read a book when I know it's already harmful, when I know that it is a type of pornography.
Yes. It's actually classified as erotic fiction.
What is that?
And that definition of erotic is no literary or artistic value other than to stimulate sexual desire. So if that's the claim to fame, is that it's erotic fiction, my heart really is heavy for women that are buying into this. You know, because it's...
Well, that's why we're kind of trying to bring this to light, isn't because...
Not to judge. Not,
I'm not attacking anybody's
right.
character
right.
or person that has read this or wants to go and see the movie again. I've already heard that.
Oh my goodness. No,
but I'm actually, you know what, taking a stand with conviction and attacking the character of the script.
Right, exactly.
And what we get into are these things that are misleading, number one. There are they're illusions.
Right.
Of pleasure.
Right. You know what, I real quick, there's a columnist that is she writes for the Hartford Courant, Her name's Gina Baraka, and I like what she wrote about it because it kind of sums it up. She says here, 50 shades is truly a form of residue. It is what is left over when you extract the intelligence, the wit, the energy, and originality from a book.
Whoa.
You know, and that's what you're saying, the content. Let's just talk about the content.
Not only the content, what does God say about the content? And one of the things that I learned through, you know, just my own study on pornography and lust and adultery and immorality.
Exactly.
And this blew my mind. Did you know that the Greek word for immorality is porneia, which comes to the English language as porn?
How about that?
Or we say pornography. Mm. So in other words, immorality, sexual morality is porn in Greek. It also means to sell. And it's often linked with another word, graphin in Greek, or ography, pornography. It means to sell and to write from a harlot.
Wow.
And also I said, wow, we don't even understand. We're talking about morals here.
Right.
Not my morals, not your morals, not somebody else's. We're talking about the moral of God. That is the compass by which we are governing this conversation. And you want to know what else I found curious? Consider the characters' names in this book. Mm. You have Christian Gray.
Yeah.
Christian Gray. Mm-hmm. Well, we know what that means. But did you know that the other character is Anastasia? And did you know that in Russian and in American, it means this? Resurrection, reborn.
Really?
Consider the words.
Wow.
The meanings, the names of these characters. Mm. And you mean to tell me that there's no
agenda behind that one?
Right. And well, you might be saying, well, what does it have to do with anything? Well, resurrection is something that the entire Christian faith is founded upon. Mm. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, that in him, through him and by him, you are reborn. You have new life. But now you have a character. So the whole point is, well, she's the one responsible for Christian's rebirth. This is the whole thing. Well, you don't know the ending. It's a love story. Mm-hmm. It's a romantic love story. And all along, we're buying into lust. Mm-hmm. We're buying into such words as bondage, dominance, sadism, and masochism. Which is the opposite of how God designed sex, which is a partnership, which is a covenant, which is fueled by love. It's self-sacrificial. It's self-giving. Has nothing to do with pain, humiliation. Mm. And guess what? It's a marriage.
Yeah.
So we can go into so many different areas of, you know, why shades of gray is manipulating the masses.
The masses are buying into it. Of course, men are loving it. Why wouldn't they? Because now they...
But you know, wait, before you say men are loving it, I think the men out there that are loving this type of idea about sex possibly could be those same men that are being... Or not being, that are imposing fear upon the women in her life. And I say that because somebody wrote in one of these blogs about the movie, the women that are actually going through this with their real life Christian Greys, they're not living in a fantasy world. It's their reality.
Yeah.
And there's nothing pretty or romantic about their lives. And that's where we start talking about the domestic violence, domestic abuse.
Right.
And we just saw the Grammys recently, and President Obama's initiative behind exposing domestic violence. He had a woman come up on stage, and she gave a almost poetry, talking about her going through domestic violence and how she was in fear and she was entrapped, and she finally was able to get out and set herself free. And one of the things she said at the very end was, authentic love does not diminish humans.
Huh.
Or does not cause pain. Mm. And this is at the Grammys.
Right.
And you consider the audience there, mm-hmm, who are probably majority buying into the 50 Shades of Grey movement.
Absolutely.
And so it was so counterproductive. It's like, all right. But what else is being said from the women?
I know. I don't understand it. I know. It's funny because I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and we were, you know, women were establishing their right not to be treated as objects, particularly sex objects. So this is such a throwback, and how any woman my age who has been through the women's revolution of the whole idea of just being treated equally, to subject themselves to such a horrendous position of devaluation is beyond my thinking. I don't understand.
Yeah, we're going backwards in society. I got to stop because I just don't want anybody listening to think that we're coming down on this. I'm trying to explain what God says about this. And in God's law and God's word, Jesus does an unbelievable job masterfully opening up the law in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. And one of the things he breaks open is the idea behind the surface law and how it's so much deeper. And he compares somebody looking upon a woman with lust as if they have committed it physically.
Right.
So just the thought alone. And I only bring that up because recently somebody, you know, kind of came at me and what I did about causing the death of another man's life.
Right.
I'm not justifying that. I broke God's law. But God's law also has the side of grace, which is Jesus Christ came, died for that act, for that sin. And now that's where I have my Anastasia, my resurrection,
right,
my new life.
Right.
So, you know, people, they get convicted, they feel uncomfortable, and then they lash out. And this is not what this show is about. This show is about enlightening, illuminating. Perhaps you were flirting with the idea of going to see the movie. Perhaps you are kind of attracted to the buzz about the movie. But you got to consider the full orb of what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And as you said, we've come from, you know, a society that tried to bring women up and value them to nowadays where we are tearing them down. And are the people seeing it?
Right.
Are they recognizing it, that we are going backwards? We got to talk about things that these type of scripts that are, I use the word deceptive and manipulative because they're harmful. And people are engaged into them. What do they say about the psychologists that study the effects of lust and porn on the brain and the results? I read a study about it's called a neuropathway.
Yep.
And to give you a brief comparison to what that means outside of your body, outside of your brain, consider a trail that was once in the thick of woods, and because one person, a pathfinder, went through first, and then other people followed that same path, and over time they beat down the path.
Yep.
And now it's a cleared path.
We have that right outside our door.
Outside our door, from going back and forth from my uncle who lives next door.
And the kids, when you were all little, there was eight of you, you'd go back and forth to our house, to their house, and now there's just a trail.
It looks like somebody actually paved a trail.
And that's how the brain works. You know, I taught in public schools for over 12 years on actually sexual abstinence, but it included the whole realm of sexuality and the wholeness of males and females. And I went to many conferences in Washington, D.C. and in California, where we had the top doctors who came to talk to us about brain neuropsychology. And this may be news to some of you listening, but we've known it for years and forever. Pornography is harmful to the brain, whether it's females or males engaging. And it's more naturally males because they're visually stimulated. But the effect of this is that the brain pathways get stuck on that. And it's also like a bottomless pit. Think of it this way. With pornography and people that get entrenched in that, what titillated them or made them aroused one time, weeks later, as they're indulging deeper and deeper, they need more to stimulate, like a drug. And so the brain begins to develop these habits. And these habits will destroy a relationship because now the partner is more interested in what the brain is telling him rather than what the relationship itself is exposing between two people.
So in the pursuit of pleasure or sex, they're actually diminishing the pleasure of sex.
Absolutely. Well, think about it.
That's called the pleasure paradox, to be honest, which I read that.
Yeah.
In the pursuit of satisfaction or pleasure, you get it, and then guess what? the floor drops out from underneath of you.
It's like a drug, though.
It's like a sugar high, too.
Absolutely.
Or it's like I'm overindulging in ice cream. It's so good. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards I go, ew, why did I do that? It's the same effect. But I read a study about a guy that he increased his watching of pornography by the day. And he had placed a hat on top of the computer monitor mm-hmm. while he was watching the porn.
Right.
And over time, because he was able to be so engaged with the computer monitor and this hat, that he was able to be aroused simply the sight of a hat.
Yeah.
That's the neuro pathway.
No, that's right. That's absolutely true. The male brain, I read that years ago, and it was by a psychologist who dealt with men who were addicted to porn. And that's called mental imaging. And that's why, and believe me, I've talked to women whose husbands have been hooked on pornography, and they've tried, well, maybe if I try this, this will interest him, this will excite him. And every time they tried, they'd fail because he had mental imaging that didn't exactly attach to what they were trying. And in the same token, the woman would be diminished until finally she could not compete. You cannot compete with what chemicals in your brain are telling your mind when you condition yourself in such a sinful manner. Really, it's sinful. The minute you need something else in your relationship to stimulate it, you better know that you better put the brakes on.
Wow.
Because it's all really about getting to know your partner. As you said, the relationship about sex and love, it's interactive between the two of you. And if you're Christians, obviously there's three of you. There's God and the two of you.
Right.
And so each of you die to each other to please each other. You know what the other person needs, and you're selfless, and you care. If they don't want it or like it, then you don't do it.
Right.
This is the complete opposite.
Right. So one of the last line I say in my volume up is, ladies, never allow a man who is ruthless lead you into the type of sex that is truthless. And along those lines of being truthless, God's word is not diced up or sliced up into shades. There's no shades of truth. There's actually one truth, and it has a name. His name's Jesus Christ. And it is only in his truth that we find our moral compass of what is right and wrong. And if you do call yourself a Christian, and you're not standing up, standing out about where you stand with something like this, and you're allowing the people in your life to be misled, then you have to kind of reevaluate where you are. And this is where I really stand, is how can we be in today's society and allow these things to go down without speaking up about them?
Yes.
And you know what? People take offense to it, but guess what? The truth is offensive. Jesus said that. He said things that turned people off. But he didn't do it because he wanted them to be turned off and shut down. He wanted to save them from themselves. He wanted to save them from sin. And you know what? He wanted to save them from Satan. They're the three S's. Self, sin, and Satan. Mm. And self, sin, and Satan are all in this movie script.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. The recent article that was printed in several different magazines, you should Google it if you're out there. The whole idea of the connection between good sex and passing up porn. They go together. In other words, if you want good sex in your relationship, stay away from the porn, because it robs you of good sex and it creates false images. And doesn't Satan, you know, it's
But that's not what, that's not what the world says. The world says you have to be experienced with sex, and
well,
you have
Wait a minute. Hold up 1 second. Satan, first of all, has no gender. He's neither male nor female.
Right.
So he just loves distorting this whole conversation.
He loves perverting sex and love.
Exactly. So the world says what? What were you saying?
Well, saying the world says you have to experience this type of stuff. Maybe you should learn some new moves while watching pornography. And you know what? You want to spice up your relationship? Go see 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow.
And you know who's left in that equation most of the time? It's the husbands or the boyfriend or the fiance of that. It's the female that wants to go see this. And you're like,
they think it's romantic. That's what I'm saying. What has happened?
What has happened? And people, oh, this actually, this doesn't affect my day. This doesn't affect my life. This doesn't, I'm not losing money or nothing is happening to me. So why am I feeling so engaged in talking about it? It's because it's sad to see people being misled by lies.
Yes, that will hurt them in every way, emotionally, spiritually, physically. This is like a whole body attack. That columnist that I talked about, she ends her very excellent column that ran in the press saying, "Perhaps I'm beating a dead horse. It is still better than beating a live woman and calling it love."
Calling it love.
That's where my heartbreak is. I've always worked with girls. I've worked with teenage girls, trying to say, girls, we are the standard bearers for the males. We need to set the bar high, because males are, and this is truth too, because of testosterone, they're more sexual, they're more visual. So when God put males and females together, he made us more emotional so that our hearts can bind together as one in strength. And so when I see girls thinking, this is really romantic, this is going to spice up, it's walking into the very pit of hell. And that's what's sad. And it's not judging you that went. We're just saying, challenge your mind and your heart and your soul to look at, really, what are you buying into?
Right. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't leave any lasting fulfillment or satisfaction. It actually,
yes,
it brings you up, then it drops you hard. Mm-hmm. And then you know what? You're going to seek 50 Shades of Grey Part 2, thinking mm-hmm. that it's going to satisfy you. And now you're caught in this vicious cycle. And you know what? Plain and simple, it's demeaning.
It's
period.
Demeaning. Thank you.
And yeah. I was in prison with a lot of Christian Greys who were perverted.
Mm-hmm.
And they really believed that their machoism or their control was acceptable. And they would tell you their stories about how they shook their woman or their wife and they made her an object, and
yes.
they were locked up.
Yeah.
But now we are glorifying Christian Grey on screen. And you know what? It's because of the way he was raised. It was because of the things that he went through. And that is such an excuse. And I'm not here to say that the things that we've gone through as we grew up in our formative years that don't
impact.
Play on or impact our behaviors. I'm not saying that. But at the end of the day, we are all accountable to God Almighty.
That's right.
Not by what I went through. Not my circumstances. I'm accountable to God Almighty and what he says in his word about truth. And there's nothing gray about the truth. It's black or white. So we hope that a little bit of our energy today has touched your ears and went into your heart about this culture phenomenon. That's what it is. For all ages, really. Even the high school kids were talking about this. And
mm-hmm. I would add too, as we're closing out, moms, sit down and talk to your daughters, and more importantly, dads. If you're in the home, you are the first impression of what a daughter is going to see in a man. Talk to your daughter. She's worth more than gold, and so are our sons. And so we really need to be proactive in a culture that is diminishing people's self-worth and then being laud it as something valuable to go and see.
Yes. Man, and when you reduce human life, whether it's male or female, you know, you've reduced everything.
Yes.
And that's the challenge, is to not reduce what God placed inside of each and every individual. And as we close, we just want to challenge you to go within yourself and think about where you are morally. Where is your moral compass pointing?
Yeah.
Where are you getting that direction from? And I'm always hard on the Christians because, let's be real, I was a complacent and a compromising Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the danger in that path. Now that I'm a convicted Christian, I'm calling out those who are like me in the past that are straddling the fence, man or woman. And we close each show by reminding you that where you're going, what you're doing, these actions behind your character are what people are watching. That's why your best testimony for you to share isn't the one you give for people to hear. It's the one you live for people to see. And Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." We thank you for your audience today. We hope to continue to challenge you and charge you. God bless.
Loves me just as I am, despite all my flaws. He takes the pain from my flesh and leaves it right at the cross.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones, they hate. Waiting patiently, pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith. Pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven. There's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. Guys that are running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah,
don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ